better, that we can help other people, and that your will can be done on earth through us as your vessels. Thank you for every person here and by internet and television that is watching this broadcast. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Turn back to the 11th chapter of Luke, the text that got us moving here in the direction of developing a more explicit or more vivid or more productive prayer life. We sometimes think we have exalted the teaching on prayer, but you cannot exalt it. The teaching on prayer is so wide and so vast and has so much spiritual potential, and some people really never learn how to pray. They know how to say prayer. Saying prayers and praying is two different things. So here in the 11th chapter of Luke, we had this request made by the disciples to the Lord to do something that I think is very important. Lord, teach us how to pray. So in the first verse, and it came to pass that as he was praying, talking about Jesus, in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. All right, and you have that scripture. Now I want you to go to the 9th chapter of Mark, where we were dealing with prayer and fasting, because I done got caught up here on some things I believe that the body of Christ at large may have missed in the aspect of praying and fasting. Praying and fasting. In the 9th chapter of Mark, they had brought this boy to Jesus' disciple. He wasn't with them, but a dumb and deaf spirit, and they couldn't cast him out. And so the spiritual thermometer here, we're going to watch this because you can, it's gauge the spirit world and how far you can go in the spirit world. Now here in Mark 9:28 is when these disciples ask another question. They ask the Lord to teach them how to pray. Now here's another dimension of prayer they're dealing with here. This spirit won't obey them. You know, a lot of times we're praying about things, look like it don't want to obey us sometimes. We've got to be praying over, talking to it 50 times. But there's a way in the spirit to become stronger in your prayer life. How many of y'all want to become stronger in your prayer life? Well, here in the 28th and 29th verse of the 9th chapter of Mark, after they had failed in dealing with something, a matter of fact, dealing with Satan. Now, I don't want to fail dealing with Satan, do you? We don't supposed to fail dealing with Satan. Satan's supposed to be on our feet. And he jump up sometimes, but we ought to know how to handle him. So here they ask the question, the 28th verse, you with me? And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? Now, Jesus already cast him out, but they won't know why they couldn't. And the 29th verse, he said something here, and he opened up a whole new horizon for me. Because I've been in this business 37 years, but I haven't been a real faster. I say it to you, I try to stay close to God every day, but I didn't really know the real importance of fasting. And this church, I haven't taught this church, but I have to teach it to you. And watch this. And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. So it seemed to me that the Spirit of God is saying, if you look at the principle, there are some things not going to happen unless you fast. Now, also, in waiting for the driver, my driver to pick me up, one of my boys picked me up from the house, in Matthew 26, look at Matthew 26. Matthew 26, because I want to show you something here. And then ask you a few questions about your prayer life and see where you are. In Matthew 26, Matthew 26, Verse 41. Now, this is another occasion because Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's about to go to the cross, and he's expecting the disciples to stand with him in prayer. He found them sleeping. And in the 41st verse, I want to show you something. In the 41st verse, the first word in the 41st verse is what? That's a type of fasting. Too much sleep. And a lot of times the Lord won't talk with you, but you roll over, Big Tova. You know, you roll over. You don't want, but it's too much sleeping, you see. You have to fast sleep too if you really want to get a hold of the Lord. Are you listening to me? Now, I'm going to show you something else in this verse. He said, watch and pray. You're going to take my food and my sleep from me? Well, sometimes they both need to be taken. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, I've read that thousands of times, but here I see the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak in the realm of the spirit, but is strong in evil. See, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The flesh is weak when it comes down to contacting God or working spiritual principle, but the flesh is Satan's strongest item in your life. You don't want to hear that, but that's the truth. I thought that was amazing because I never seen that. See, the flesh, he's talking about the flesh weak in the spirit realm of doing what's right, but the flesh will do what's wrong in a second. Y'all just want to say amen. And so we need to bring this flesh under. Now, one aspect we're going to learn about praying and fasting, let me give you a definition of fasting. It's abstaining from food for spiritual purposes. Abstaining from food in a protracted period of time for prayer time for spiritual purposes. You understand that? You know, you have to start off, you ain't going to fast no 40 day and 40 night. You know, start, engage yourself at a certain time that you're going to set aside, not just to miss the plate, but you're going to set aside, and you're going to use that time not for nothing in the flesh. You're going to do spiritual things, like pray and seek God's face and let God get closer to you. All right. Preparing properly for a fast. Having the right attitude of a positive faith is one thing you got to have. The second thing you have to know, it is God's will for me to fast, and God will bless me when I do fast in accordance with his will. And we'll learn more about fasting in a few moments. But there's a few things that I want to bring out about the spiritual, and this is what I'm saying, the spiritual principle of fasting. The spiritual principle of fasting. And I ask these questions. Could it be we're missing out on some major spiritual breakthroughs because we are not practicing the spiritual principle of fasting? Could it be? And my answer is yes. I'll answer for you. Because in just this short period of time, I've had many breakthroughs. The fast off now. I fast about 16 hours a day from last night to about 3 o'clock today. But you don't just fast, you fast and pray. But I had breakthroughs in the spirit realm. I saw visions. I even saw a little girl came to me in the spirit and had some instruction for her people. I had the chance to make my first apostolic request to the Lord. I said, Lord, I ask you this as an apostle. There are levels in the spirit. There are powers in the spirit you will never experience without fasting. What about that thing that won't go away? What about that thing never, it don't seem like it want to correct or respect your prayer? You listening? Fasting opens the door for the Holy Spirit to be more in charge of you and your situation. Because what happens in fasting in a spiritual manner bring your soul and your body under. And your mind be ripped, boy, your mind be seeing everything. Because they want to eat you. See, your mind trying to work with your body. So in dealing with this, we go back to our text to ask the Lord in this night, Mark 9. No, let's go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Nothing like the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Nothing like the sweet communion. Say that. Nothing like the sweet communion. He knows. The primary reason for fasting. Oh, watch this now. Is self-humbling. In James 4 and 10. Notice what it says. Didn't say God was going to do it. It says humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. And what happened? Fasting humbles you. It brings the primary reason for fasting. Turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. See, if you don't know the spiritual fruition of fasting, the principle of fasting, you will not do it. Jesus said this kind would come out nothing but by prayer and what? And fasting, see? Shedding off the flesh. It was Paul who said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, I bring my body under subjection. In 1 Peter 5 and 6 now, watch this. Humble yourself, there it is again. Therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And see, what fasting does, fasting bring that flesh under. It puts you in charge. It puts your spirit in charge. You're going to eat when I tell you eat. Shut up. And say, God, I praise you. Stop talking to God. Say, I don't want to talk to you. Talk to the hand. I'm talking to God. See, you got to stop that flesh. You stop it because the flesh won't control. It wants some biscuit and stuff. You know, it always wants something. Yeah, how many know what I'm talking about? Yeah, yeah. And most of the time, we just give it to it. How many times have you given into the flesh in your lifetime? Lord, have mercy. We don't have the calculator to express. So the responsibility to humble yourself is placed upon you. And you cannot transfer that responsibility to God. God, humble me. No, that don't even sound right. God can't humble you. You got to humble yourself. And this is one of the primary reasons of fasting. The essential nature of fasting is renouncing the natural to invoke the supernatural. See, you're all up in Romans chapter 8 now because the flesh cannot please God. That natural man, and Paul talked about it in 1 Corinthians 2, the natural man. See, natural man knows not the things of the spirit. Your body, actually, until your spirit carries over into the realm of the spirit, your body is in the natural. And so what happened in fasting, you're renouncing the natural to invoke the supernatural. So a lot of times the supernatural is not invoked because the natural has not been renounced. And you know, I've heard people say they live the fasted life. In other words, they don't eat as much. But no, there's a design, assigned time that you should cut the flesh down to the point that it's going to obey you. And the weaker you get physically, the stronger you get spiritually. I found about halfway, 16 or 17 hour fast, about halfway I start shifting. I'm coming more out of the natural, getting over more in the spirit, because I don't have none of this stuff on my mind. And my body seemed to get lighter, seemed to get closer, seemed to have a nearness to God. And I become more humble. I become more, the flesh really get weak. I become more humble and recognize a man don't live by bread alone. And God's voice get clearer. You're getting all that stuff out the way. All that gunk in the flesh. And junk in the flesh, you're getting further over in the spirit. So if you want to function in the supernatural, and that's what the disciple needed, that's why that devil didn't obey them. They were too far in the flesh. See? Turn to Luke chapter 4 now. Because someone here might think that this lesson is not for you, because you're more spiritual than this. And I want you to know, if you are, you're more spiritual than Jesus. Because the master was a faster. See, we often talk about his prayer life, but very seldom we hear people talking about his fasting life. I can assure you some places you're not getting. We're not talking about gluttony. We're not talking about oversized now. We're not talking about that. We're talking about fasting in sort of spirit realm can become more brighter. Glory to God. Glory to God. If you paying attention to me, your life is about to move into another dimension of the spirit. Are you paying attention? Now, in the first few times, but once you set a fast now, don't be setting these crazy fasts. Once you set a fast, don't let Satan talk you out of it. He's going to try to talk you out of it. So I say, take short spans, because don't play with this. Because he know you really got you then. Say, oh, I got her now. She couldn't go 6 hours. See. How many got some prayers you need answered? Yeah, and some things you need change. And some things you've been believing God for. Here it is. Now, you know, the natural, let me see how can I say this, be nice. People who do not understand spiritual things will talk against this. See? And they'll tell you how silly it is. Because they don't know no better. You know, it's just like the man who came to my house when I first got saved. He was my friend. And he asked me, was I coming back anymore? Out in the street with him, you know. I said, no. He said, man, I've been saved. If I had known what I know now, I would have said to him, you couldn't prove it by me. So we're out there doing the same thing. What I'm saying is, just because someone else don't see it, don't mean it's not there. And I've been excited in my studies to come and train you. But that statement is so important. Before I read in Luke, go back to Mark. Let's look at that statement. That statement is so important to get the vividness of it, that the Holy Spirit may breathe on your heart. May the Holy Spirit breathe on your heart. Good God Almighty. You heard that? May the Holy Spirit breathe on your heart. Good God Almighty. May May the Holy Spirit blow your heart into the trenches of this revelation, that you may understand what thus said the Lord, what the Spirit of God is aiming to do here this very evening, to get you in a place where never no more the contrariness of Satan will rule your situation. You know he's been ruling some area. Man, you can shift another gear. If you just listen to me. You watch it by internet. If you just listen to me. Oh, glory. I feel the glory of God. If you just, if you just listen to me, you will never be an average Christian no more. Your walk with God is about to go to another level. Tell a person next to you, your walk with God about to go to another level. Tell them, don't play with this thing. It's divine. Goodness. Goodness. I can't hardly stand it. I know what's about to happen. Explosions of victory. Battles we couldn't win. Couldn't, God Almighty. We're going to put the enemy on the run. James said, don't be only be a hearer of the word, but he said, be what? A doer. I can put it out, but I can't do it for you. Now, you know, I warn you who have a certain medicine you're taking and certain... You have to deal with it wisely. You know. It said Jesus, after Jesus fasted, he was hungry. So it didn't say he was thirsty. So undoubtedly he was drinking water. All right. And don't go getting tied up with somebody who don't know what they're talking about. And something they didn't have learned and not working for them. And then they're going to teach you how to do it. Let me teach you. I'm your pastor. Let me teach you. Ask me. Email me if you can't get to me. Now go back to the text, because these boys want to know, first of all, they asked the Lord to teach them how to pray. Now he's taking them to another dimension of prayer. See, fasting, prayer and fasting, would you hear me, is another dimension. I think it's an unused and an abused dimension of the body of Christ. They have not... self is your problem. That's why the Lord said deny yourself. Well, fasting is one of the ways of fulfilling Luke 9:23. If any man will come after you, let him deny himself. See, it's self that robs us of spirituality. And so he said in the 29th verse, I'm back at Mark 9, then we're going to Luke, we're going to see Jesus, the master, fasting. And we want to see what transition, what transpired in Jesus' fasting. We're going to see two things Jesus did. He waited on the Holy Spirit and he fasted, then he faced the devil. Now it would seem like you're weaker because you're not eating. You see what I'm saying? You seem like if I had a stomach full, I could stand up to the devil better. But you can't, because you're all up in the physical man. You see what I'm saying? You would think, you know, I have a good meal and I could pray all night. Yeah, but you're not in a dimension, because you're still in self and your body's still in control. How many see me here? I see myself. I see this thing, man. It's so, you sense yourself. Like you're rotating up into other realms. And you're at Abba Shatta. And it looks like, see, man, this thing, it looks like this thing going through Israel. It looks like it's a door open up. He said, I open doors that no man can close, didn't he? But look like a door. It looked like a door in the spirit realm. Say, I bet you never seen this. It's like the Lord said, welcome, my child. I've been waiting on you. You've been coming up to this point, but you couldn't come no further. You were too heavy in the flesh. Your senses had too much a hold on you. And your senses were talking to you too much. But then you get into a certain realm in the spirit by fasting that your senses begin to say, this don't make no sense. Thank God it don't make no sense. That's what I've been trying to get away from, my senses. It's my senses got me in this mess. Do you see me? See, you got to get in a realm where your senses say this don't make no sense. When that happened, you're more further in the spirit. You're out of sense control now. Good God Almighty. You're out of sense control. You're in spirit control. You're stronger. You're less of a doubter. You have less interference by the world system. Less interference by Satan. Why Satan don't want you to fast? Because he knows you're going now to your spirit man. Your soul's scared because now he's going to have to submit. Your body knows it's going to have to submit. So they're all rattling the bell. Stop, stop, stop. Go eat something. Stop. Stop praying. Stop. You're going too far in the spirit for your senses to run you. Fear getting on his knees. See fear, Barry. Fear that come through the sense realm. Bow. Because now you're further enough to know nothing is too hard for God. You're over there. Oh, for shatata. You're over there. See, you ain't got over there. And so your flesh screaming, stop him, stop him, we're losing control. You see that, Mary? Disease are going crazy because there are some things you've been eating and been working your cells too high. And by you fasting and praying, you're giving your blood a rest. Good God Almighty. You heard that? Did you hear that over there? You're giving your system a rest, and yet you're resting your system because you're going higher in the spirit. And so the old folks, you say you're killing two birds. One shot. Then in the natural, there's some things you're going to find out you don't need to eat. And you might find out what's making your allergy act up. What's making your blood pressure high. Might not be normal. It might, your organ might be working. You just might be overloading it. Isn't it wonderful to come to church and you got a doctor and a preacher? No, it's just normal common sense there. It's normal common sense. Go back to Luke 4. Hallelujah. Mark this. Many of you, as you apply the principle of fasting, going to be healed. Why? You're going to be further over in the spirit world. You're going to be less in the flesh world. And the spirit world is going to take in control. And the spirit world now is going to be able to announce to you what has been happening in the flesh. Say amen, Pastor. Come on now. Don't y'all cheat me with all this I'm giving y'all. Y'all don't cheat me. This is a blessing. Isn't it? I can't get a breakthrough here. I've been praying about it. Why I can't find my husband? Why I can't find my wife? Maybe I need to find myself first. And by fasting, you'll find out some things you may need to correct. For God trusts you with a good man. Drive him crazy. And vice versa. But I don't get in trouble with these girls, you know. In Luke 4, and Jesus, first verse, being full of the Holy Ghost. Say, full of the Holy Ghost. It's sure blessed to be full of the Holy Ghost. How many of y'all know it's blessed to be full of the Holy Ghost? And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. You got two terms there, full of the Holy Ghost and led by the Spirit. I cannot tell you, class, how important both of these statements is. Being full of the Spirit and being led by the Spirit. These are important in the same verse. They're so important, I can't just skip over them to go where I'm going. I'm headed somewhere, but I just want to pause here to admonish you to stay filled with the Spirit. And then Acts, according to Romans 8:14, as men is led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That voice have a whole lot in it people don't see, because they are sons of God who invalidate their sonship by not being led by the Spirit. There are things God can't do for them unless they're led by the Spirit, even though they are sons of God, but they're not qualified for sons' inheritance. Can you see that? Because they're not being led by the Spirit. And I can assure you, being full of the Spirit and being led by the Spirit correlate. The fuller you are, the more leadable you are. Can you see that? See, the two run hand in hand, but I want to stop there. But being 40 days now, tempted of the devil, and in those days, he did eat nothing. So what that spell? Fasting. He didn't eat nothing. And when they were ended, it tell you what he's doing. He was after what? What make you hungry? Not eating. Very, very simple. Don't come to no complicated stuff. Don't get deep. Not eating. And I hear it would seem like now Jesus is more of a P-R-E-Y. You see, it seemed like, with a physical opponent, you need your physical strength. Yes, yes, yes. You know, you and your wife going in to have a man jump out the doctor. Man need to be strong. You need to handle him. You need to deal with him. Ain't time to pray now. But when it comes down to the spiritual aspect, when you're weak in the flesh, you're strong in the spirit. See, that was Paul says, he glory in his weakness. He said, when I'm weak, then am I strong. See, that language is backwards if you don't watch yourself. What do you mean, when I'm weak, then am I strong? When I'm weak in myself, I'm strong in the Lord. And so here now, Jesus, he says, he's full of the Holy Ghost. He's led by the Spirit in the wilderness. Now, after 40 days, he's hungry. Here come the devil. But I submit to you now, listen to me, Jesus is stronger than he ever been. But see, now you got to get the category. Where he strong at? Yeah. Where he weak at? Flesh. That's where you need to be. But many times we the opposite. Maybe the person next to you don't know what I'm saying. Maybe you can help him. Many times the opposite, because we don't understand the spiritual principle of fasting. It brings you deeper into the realm of the Spirit, closer to God, and less dependent on yourself. Because if you depend on yourself in the spirit realm, you in major trouble, because you right where Satan wants you to be. Satan wants you to tell him how many scriptures you know and how long you've been on the battlefield. See, that's what he wants you to do. He wants you to testify to your weaknesses. Because the man thing, I got my hand in God's hand and the Lord. Now watch what happened. Watch what happened. Actually, we're dealing with, if you want to put it in your note, fasting in the life of Jesus. Jesus had fasting in his life. We see that, and we see these two verses, and we see the third verse. Now the enemy come, but I want to take it from another angle, in which it says, first, when the Holy Spirit descended upon him, he was endued with the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit for his ministry. All right? It says, before he, well, let me go back. Here's where it goes. Two things I want you to see. Before he entered his public ministry, there are two critical experiences through which he passed. Number one, first, when the Holy Spirit descended upon him and he was endued with the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit for his ministry. That's the first thing. The second thing, now, it must be important. The second experience was 40 days of fasting in the desert. Abstain from food and focus on the spiritual. Don't miss that. Abstaining from food and focusing on the spiritual. Now, if you just fast and don't pray, you're not gearing up. See, I'm too weak to pray. I'm just gonna fast. No, no. You're strong in your thing. Your body just lying because it's used to controlling you. See, your body's supposed to be your servant, not your master. Your mind's supposed to be your servant, not your master. Now, watch it. Your soul supposed to be your servant, not your master. If you don't know about it, it'd be your master. So those two things Jesus did, the Holy Spirit descended on him, two critical experiences, and he had this 40 days of fasting, which we said, that brought him to abstain from food, and now he's more focused on the spiritual. Same thing happened to you. Same thing in my fasting, same thing happened to me. I'm more focused in the spirit. Let me share a few things with you. I can hear clearer. Hear what? The voice of God, the voice of the Holy Spirit. I can get direction clearer because my mind is not on what I'm going to eat at 12 o'clock. You know, my wife tells me, that's your mind. That's what you just got through eating. What's for lunch? What's for supper? What's for next month? You know, how many know that you won't know? You think about that. Come on now, y'all be truthful now. I'm going to have a casting out devils in here. Some of y'all now, what am I going to eat tonight? And one of the books I'm studying on fasting started out with food. It took food for illustration. I said, man, don't take no food for illustration. Tell me something else. But you see, your mind is on, you can be praying. See, some of y'all want to look at us and look straight at me, you know, it's all deep. Because you don't have this thing under control. See, you're moving from a physical appetite to a spiritual appetite. Oh, write that down, like little dude would say. You're moving from a physical appetite to a spiritual appetite, and you'll eat greater. Because what's on the plate of your spirit is greater than what's on the plate of your flesh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now we should be making some haste here. Well, I'll be doggone. I say we should be making some haste here. I believe I said it clear enough for you to see something. You know, it's not a Bible study, it's word training. I believe you should meditate this. I believe you should meditate the scriptures. I'm giving you should meditate the notes until they hit your spiritual digestive system and become nourishment for your soul and direction for your body. What is it? Become nourishing for your soul and direction to your body. Soul, you're not in control of me no more. Body, you're not in control over me anymore. I know how to flip a spiritual switch that will change this thing in a moment. I deny you the table. And see, a lot of time we use the table just as physically what the Lord prepared for us, but there's a spiritual table prepared for us. And I believe you can go to that spiritual table after getting further enough out of the flesh. Wow! You heard that? after getting further enough out of the flesh, you stop two forks at one time. You stop the food fork and the devil fork. You stop them both at the same time. Now, we know that Jesus, in reading this text, he emerged victorious over Satan. Why? He was strong in the spirit and weak in the flesh. He was ready for him. He had the Holy Ghost and he had humbled himself and he wasn't dependent on his ability anymore. And he had nothing to turn to but God. That's a good place to be. I've been there many times. Had nobody to turn to but God. Oh, God. And I'm glad every crack I got in, every stronghold tried to tear me down. I'm glad about it because it made me strong. What the enemy meant for evil. Ah, la, la, la. God, turn it to my good. Hallelujah. Y'all got any testimonies about like that? You know, it's like something was going all wrong and looked like he was about to knock you over, and all of a sudden God stepped in and set you free from that thing, and you said, "Now I know God real." You can't know God real just because somebody tell you. You got to go through something. Somebody talk to me in here. You can't know God real. You can't know God real just by him being in the book and having to. No, you got to have some experiences with God. Know God can do that?
Yes.
That's what David, that's how David had his testimony. When he faced Goliath, he said, "Wait a minute now, I didn't whip them bad. Matter of fact, I don't know how I got out of there. All I know is somebody helped me. Unseen foes helped me." See, so if you're going through something, tonight, listen, that's okay. But I'm asking you to handle it right. They that wait upon the Lord. And that don't mean just sitting around on the bank fishing. That means digging in the spirit realm, saying, "God, what you trying to show me now? I know what the devil's trying to do, but what you trying to show me? Are you trying to promote me in the spirit? Are you trying to make me do what I need to do to go higher? I know Satan can't stop me. Because greater is he that's in me than he is in the world. But what lesson do I need to learn from this situation? What you trying to teach me? Satan trying to kill me, but what you want me to learn? See, don't think you're going through this thing by yourself. No, the Lord's there with you. There's a lesson to be learned. Learn the lesson, 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 because the next time Satan come with that same lesson, you're going to be on another level. What took you 3 months to get out of, it'll take you 3 minutes to get out of. Now you know that you know that you know that you know. Oh, I got to stop. I know. Hallelujah. Shut it back down for a few minutes. Notice in Luke 4, now, we talked about being full of the Spirit. We talked about being led by the Spirit. Now, notice this, when Jesus got ready to go back, the 14th verse says, and Jesus returned, what? In the power. Say it with some dignity. In the power of the Spirit. Say it again. In the power of the Spirit. Watch how I say it. In the power of the Spirit. Power. See, that power's in my guts. When I say it, I feel a fervent of his presence in the power of his spirit. He returned. See, he returned. Jesus returned the power of the spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. Now, when he went in the desert, he was full of the Holy Spirit. But when he returned from the desert, after 40 days of fasting, it said he went in the power of the Spirit. Did fasting have something to do with this power? You want more power? In the Spirit? Fast and pray. And I got to get to the point where I can teach you, and Jesus taught it. He says three things. When you give alms, when you fast, when you pray. He didn't say if you pray. I think it's Matthew 6. He said when you pray, when you fast. So fasting seemed like an order from the master. And we're going to get to the point, because I don't want to know some of y'all are going to start fasting, but you don't fast. God, I'm fasting. I'm hungry too, God, but I'm... Lord, going to make a way somehow. You're supposed to clean yourself up, be strong, never tell anybody nothing, and just fast right in their presence. You offer you something and say, you want to go out to eat? You say, no, not today. I'm not going. I'm not going today. Somebody offer you a piece of candy or something or whatever they're eating. You just tell them, no, thank you. God, you acting funny. See, that's a crazy friend. Now, you need to get rid of them, because... Spiritual folk will understand. You tell them you don't want that, just leave you alone. You know what I'm saying? And especially if you're a spiritual person. Especially you're a member of this church and listen to this lesson. And you listen to the lesson now, and you tell them you don't want a piece. Why you don't want a piece? That's my favorite pie. You had class the other night? You know? And people got a tendency. See, some of this stuff you're not going to be doing unless you cut some people loose. You know, like the church, like the members of this church who are at home now, and you fasted, they haven't heard the lesson, they don't know nothing about what we talked about tonight, and they say, oh, fasting, don't do all that, girl. You get your little something to eat. See, that's ignorant going to seed, not because they're ignorant person, but they're ignorant to this fact what you was taught tonight, because they're not here. How many of y'all want to be more powerful in the spirit? Now you know what you got to do, right? Huh? Yeah. So just do it at increment. I'm going to teach you more about how to really do it, but I just want to get these things straight. Now you see what happened to Jesus, right? So Jesus is our example, right? So it says this way. In other words, it's one thing to be full of the Spirit. It's another thing to be in the power of the Spirit. From the time of his baptism onward, the Spirit was there. You listening? But it was his fasting that released the power of the Holy Spirit to flow through his life and ministry without hindrance. Could it be, the question I asked earlier, let me get back and ask that question. Could it be we're missing out on some major spiritual breakthrough because we're not practicing the spiritual principle of fasting? And I answer for you all and myself, yes. Listen to me. There are levels in the spirit. What I said? There are powers in the spirit. What I said?
There are powers in the spirit.
You will never experience without fasting. Why? The flesh is going to auger you out of it. The flesh is going to block you, interrupt you, make you an offer you can't refuse in your sense realm. Wow. Your flesh will make you an offer. When your flesh sees that it's losing control and you're going deeper into the spirit, it comes up with a distraction from the Holy Ghost. It's distracting you from the Holy Ghost. Fasting opens the door for the Holy Spirit to be more in charge of you and your situation. Can you hear me? What I said? Why, you didn't say nothing? You're not listening? Huh? Up here sucking all my anointing out and you ain't listening? You just come here. What you come here for? See, I want you to leave you in charge of your life. I want you to have victory. You're not going to have victory. I've been in Bible study. Dr. Tom was teaching. So what? Why are we not doing John 14:12? Why are we not seeing miracles? Why we can't take some of these cases and turn them over to God and stand till God do something about it? This is the area. Remember God said, let you down the deep, brighten your account, let you down the deep, teach you how to use your faith properly. Remember he taught us about the cross? Huh? Remember now he's teaching us about the supernatural? Then he gave me an apostolic calling. And now he's teaching us about prayer and fasting. And the next agenda for us to study is meditation. The supernatural about to break out in this church, boy. Now, what's going to happen now? I'll tell you what's going to happen. Can I tell you what's going to happen all the time? A miracle will take place in this church that's going to fill it up with permanent membership. Bottom full, balcony full. They're going to come see. When they come see, they're going to stay. Many signs and wonders was done by the apostles' hand. We are lined up, church. Look at me. We are lined up on the runway. It's about to happen, boy. I can feel it. We're on the runway. See? This lesson on fasting, I have to teach many, many sessions on this so we can get this. We begin to do it, begin to get anchoring of experience with this. And then John 14:12 will come alive to us. The work that I do shall you do also, and greater work than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father. So if you want to follow, sit down, I got 4 minutes. If you want to follow in the other works he did, it seemed logical that we might begin where Jesus began, with fasting. Could it be, even though we're Bible students, even though we have prayed, even though we have praised him, and praise is about God's greatness. Even though we have given him thanks is about God's goodness. Even though we have worshiped him, and our worship is an attitude. Worship is about God's holiness. Good God Almighty. You got that? Worship is about God's holiness. See, you praise him and thank him until you're getting the right attitude. Then you say, Lord, I worship you. Could it be, though we have praised, we have give thanks, we have studied the word, we have sang Zion, and I'm going to say this, I want a choir big enough to fill this whole stand up here. Well, I'm looking for it. There she is right there. Well, she said, oh, Lord, you heard me? I want a choir big enough to fill this whole stage up. Just fill them up, get them. They say they can sing, they can sing. They don't sing, send them back to their seat, yeah? But I want them vexing my anointing up here. Yeah, yeah. And so y'all come now. If she tell y'all she can't sing, I'm with her. But if you want to get in the choir, there she is. I want a choir all the way over here. I want it lined up. I want them stacked, deck on deck. All right. We can do this. Come on, we can do this. We can do this. So you in Montreal and y'all got Henry, y'all got your job cut out. If Henry say you can't sing, you can't sing. You take one to know one. give you this to whet your appetite. Fasting transfers us from the natural to the supernatural. Fasting transfers us from the natural to the supernatural. We're going to look at it when the church leaders got ready to do a major thing. They fasted and prayed in the book of Acts. That's why you had the Lord adding to the church daily. And then it went from adding, it got multiplying. Because what? The apostles' hand, miracles and signs start happening. And people start wanting, people say, well, I want some of that. See, you getting this? See, now you got to listen to this. So when, for as I'm concerned, from Mount Zion, you hear the word of life. We're on new turf for me. Because I never did no, Bert had been with me a long time. I never did no real teaching on fasting because I got caught up in the traffic talking about living the fasted life. Cutting back. No, you cut out. cutting back. Who going to determine the dimension of cutting back? You? No, it's fasting is what it say. It's fasting. It's freeing yourself of food for a protracted period of time that you can focus more on God. You can see that, can't you?
Yes, sir.
And so I believe that many spiritual victories are going to begin functioning in our lives, both spiritually and physically. I believe some food addiction going to be dealt with by the Holy Ghost. While you're deep enough in the realm of the Spirit to recognize you're killing yourself. Y'all love me, don't you? This is the truth. This is the truth. Hallelujah. We'll take up that next session. Praise God. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. It's a different dimension, I tell you that. Whew. Yeah, he's taking us out in the deep. I want to be more like Jesus. Don't you? And if Jesus needed to fast, I know Leroy needed to fast. Because I believe Jesus was a little closer to God than us, don't you? Just a little bit. He was a little closer than us. You know, we real spirits, you know. Jesus a little